Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We're a church in Gahanna, Ohio that exists to help people find and follow God. We hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and helps you discover how much God really loves you.
Well, here we are. We're back in a story that is familiar to most people. Probably, you know, I would think that you're familiar with the idea that Jesus died on the cross. And we've talked a couple times about how sometimes our familiarity with a story hurts its ability to impact us. And so that's why we're taking 7 weeks to stay here and to focus on the cross, and specifically to focus on the things that Jesus said while he was on the cross. And so we're in week three of 7 weeks that we're going to be jumping into the different sayings of Jesus on the cross. Today, we are blessed as a church family to get to hear from someone who only speaks here at our church from time to time. It is my wife, Morgan Trainer, that's going to come this morning. She is fun. She is funny. She is a woman of character. She is compassionate. She's an incredible mom. She's a wonderful wife. She's living her whole life committed to others and to the Lord. And so we are blessed this morning to hear a message from Morgan Trainer. Would you guys give a Three Creeks welcome to my wife, Morgan Trainer, this morning?
This is on up. Hello. 1, 2, 3. Don't mind me awkwardly getting myself set up here. Hey, we're going to dive in with prayer and then we will get started here. So bow your heads with me. Lord, I can't start this without first coming to you and asking simply less of me and more of you as we hear these words from the cross. Some simple words, seemingly simple and yet so profound and apply so much to my life and hopefully to those that are in this space. So may you guide our time together and may anything that is not of you just fall away. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm just going to dive in, okay? So the last 2 weeks, we have been in this series hearing the words of Jesus from the cross. And whether you realized it or not, the first 2 weeks were very outward focused, the words of Jesus. The first week was all about Jesus offering forgiveness for the people that were literally the ones crucifying him. And then last week, Joel taught on the words that he offered up to one of the guys that was literally being crucified next to him and saying, "Truly this day you'll be with me in paradise." And we take an interesting turn this week because the words that Jesus utters from the cross are the first words that are spoken of his own needs. And he turns to himself in these words. If you've been around church or a Christian or read the Bible for any length of time, you will have heard something about how God is both fully man and fully God. And this is a really crazy theological truth that I don't know if we have even thought about or unpacked in our church recently, for sure. It's something that's hard to consider, that God could have come to earth as a baby, that he could grow up as a man and having every experience as a human while also still being fully God and not leaving any of his godness in heaven when he came to earth. It's baffling. And 1 Timothy 3:16 actually says, it speaks of the mystery of God appearing in the flesh, but vindicated by the Spirit. And I think that's a beautiful word for it. It is a mystery. But when I think about this theological truth, if I'm honest, what I think about most is the godness of Jesus. Track with me. If you read through the Gospels, it's full of miracles. It's full of teachings that were super countercultural to that day. We know Jesus as being without sin. All of those things feel very other than my experience as a human being, right? I can't really relate to those things. I have before prayed that the Lord would multiply our community group dinners, and it seems to be a prayer he gives many times. But there's a lot about the experience of Jesus as God that I don't relate to, but it is what I think about most often. But I want you to consider with me the manness of Jesus, the physical limitations that he took on himself. This week, I think I like pulled my back out or something. And so if I'm like awkwardly fumbling up here, you'll know why. And I was even considering that this week of like, I'm in my mid-30s. I'm at the stage where things like your back get pulled out. And I bet you Jesus had back pain. It is like a funny thing to think about, but he also was in his mid-30s. And that's a really common physical limitation that we all feel. We could stand up here and talk about all of the physical limitations that we can all understand and agree with, but I think literally the most basic one that spans across all the things, it spans across age, location, all the things, is that of thirst. It's something that we can all understand no matter your experience here as a human being. We get thirst. Think about with me the time that you have maybe been the most thirsty. For my kids, it is the moment I tell them it's time to go to bed. I promise you, I say it's time for bed. Oh, I'm so thirsty. And I was laughing with some friends yesterday about how thirst feels like it's a different thing today than it was when I was growing up in the 90s. I don't think I took a water bottle to school. Did you? No. Part of the deal was that I got to raise my hand and go walk in the hall and get a drink from the water fountain. And that was like part of the school experience, getting to leave class for water. And now my kids can't leave anywhere without being locked and loaded in the water bottle department. But they get thirst. It's highlighted by all the influencers, right? There's no like every year there's some new trendy water bottle that comes out. When I was a sophomore in college, I realized that I needed to do some form of physical activity. I had classically been the high school kid who was like fairly active. I played soccer. I went to college and did nothing and was feeling the effects of that. So I was like, I'll sign up for a half marathon. Didn't love running, but thought that was a good idea. And also classically very undertrained for that experience. Showed up on the morning of the race, and was so concerned that if I stopped moving my body at any moment during the race, I would stop altogether. Meaning I just didn't take water the entire race. I would bypass all the water stations and just keep moving. I did finish, and then I was severely dehydrated, so much so that I had to go and get an IV drip of fluids because of how incessantly I was throwing up. That's immediately what comes to mind for me when I think about water, thirst. And I'm sure that we all have, maybe not to that extreme, but some memories of feeling really thirsty and feeling the physical limitations of needing water in our bodies. And Jesus experienced that on the cross. Jesus willingly chose to take on human form and all of the limitations that come with that, even to the point of death on the cross, arguably one of the most horrific deaths that you can experience. And catch this with me too. Jesus chose to come in human form to take on these physical limitations, but he also took on the emotional limitations of being a human being. As I was studying this section of scripture this week, actually, something I had never seen before came to mind. Not came to mind. I was researching and learned, I should say. And if you read on, I think they have the verses that they can put up here on the screen. So if you read on, it says, a jar of wine vinegar was there, and they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk. And this sponge, I don't know what you think of. At a casual reading, I would just consider it similar to what I use to scrub my dishes or a loofah or something along those lines. But did you know that this sponge, during this day and age, is something called a tersorium? And do you know what this was used for? This was literally used to wipe yourself after you went to the bathroom. And it was used to put under the helmet of the guards to catch the sweat from going in their eyes. That's what was used in order to give a drink to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And guys, when I have read this account before, I have always assumed that this offering was given to Jesus out of some kindness or compassion from the guards. And this is not that. This is an offering given out of further humiliation and shame heaped on Jesus. Jesus took on the full range of the human experience, from the physical death on the cross and the pain that he endured there, to the emotional shame and rejection that he experienced even hours before his death. And my big point that I want to make to you today is that Jesus identifies with our sufferings. Jesus chose to do that super intentionally so that he's able to communicate to you and me, hey, I get it. And I thought those words that we sung just minutes ago, God is with us, and he is with us in the full range of what that means. Jesus was here, and he experienced things like navigating friendships and hard family dynamics. Did you know that some of his brothers were the first to be skeptical about his ministry? Can you imagine having to navigate that family that doesn't believe in you? And I would argue that he did that super intentionally so that we know that we can come to him with our suffering and with our pain. I think that one of the things, something that keeps people from Jesus is this feeling that God is some like distant God. He's this God that's up in the clouds, that's super uninvolved in our world and in our day-to-day. And I'm trying to make the argument, and I think that this scripture points to the fact that that could not be further from the truth. And the reality is that Jesus chose to do that intentionally. He didn't need to, but he chose to take on flesh, to take on the pain and suffering and the humiliation and shame of the cross so that we might know that he is with us and he wants us to come to him. I was up here also a few weeks ago sharing briefly about My Village Ministries, and it's where I get to work. It's one of our partners' ministries. A lot of you guys are very familiar with it and very involved. I work as a supervisor, which just means that I get to be a part of some of the hostings that we do from the time that a family calls in to the end when the kids are back in the home of the family. And because of that, I hear a lot of really hard things. I hear lots of trauma and a lot of poverty and a lot of brokenness and injustice in our world. Just about a year ago, I was supervising for this sweet mama who's getting ready to have her fourth baby, and she needed someplace safe for her three older kids to go. So we were able to connect her with a host family. It was a short 4 or 5 day hosting. These are pretty common and typical for us to do, these types of hostings. A great relationship was formed, and mom had this beautiful baby boy. Kids went home, and that was it. But only 2 months later, I got a call from that mom, a call I'd never want to receive, and she said that that sweet two-month-old baby had died from SIDS. And she said, Morgan, I want you to come and be at the funeral and be a part of it with me. And there are many moments where I think it's a lot easier to not be in the brokenness of our world. It's a lot easier to insulate and isolate from the brokenness and the injustice that we feel in our world today. But man, does this story point to the fact that I think that's where Jesus wants us to go. That was the model of him on the cross. He said, I'm going to go and take on flesh and take on the full range of the human experience, including brokenness and pain and suffering, all for the sake of you and me. All for the sake that you may one day know Jesus and have a life with him. And I think that's a model for us to follow. I think Jesus wants us to go into dark and broken places, not for the sake of us, but for the sake of him. Knowing, because there have been many times, knowing when we enter into broken places, man, there's so much fear and insecurity. What am I going to say? I can't relate to that. I've never experienced this injustice or this level of poverty or brokenness or list it. It doesn't even have to be My Village Ministries related, right? If you lived in this world long enough, you know that that's part of the human experience is brokenness and suffering. But I think potentially that that fear of not knowing how to relate keeps us from entering and staying in that space with people. And I just want to speak over you and me. That brokenness is not yours to own, it's Jesus's. And the best thing that you can do in that situation is say, I don't know anything about that, but I do know a God that does. I do know a God that came and took on flesh and took on the brokenness of the world so that we could know him and he could know us. Praise the Lord that we do not have to bear the weight of that, but we get to point to a Jesus that does and can and is fully capable. Have you received and felt the nearness of God in the brokenness of your world? Or does he feel like some distant being that's hard to relate to, that's hard to come to? I wonder if the Lord today is asking if you would come to him, that you would come to him with the pain that you feel. Or maybe, potentially, God is asking you to enter into some really broken and dark places. We're going to take a look now at that second verse that was already up on the screen, something called the hyssop branch and the significance of it. As a side note, I think something really cool about this specifically and just about scripture in general is that it's always intentional. It is God-breathed. And it's trustworthy. And I think you're going to see that this is true through this. So in the Old Testament, this hyssop plant, this is not just some one-off thing, but this is something that was used all throughout the Old Testament. And it was used for cleansing water. So if someone died, you would use this branch to anoint that place of death. But the one thing that I actually want to hone in on with this specifically is in the chapters of Exodus 12 and 13. And if you're a 90s Christian kid like me, this is the Prince of Egypt. This is that story, right? So this is the Passover story, and I'll give a brief synopsis for you, but this is the story of when the Israelites were in captivity by the Egyptians, and God raised up a man named Moses to help bring about the deliverance of God's people. And it came by him going to Pharaoh many, many times and saying, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh would say no. And then this plague, this horrible thing would come over the land. And it was everything from like the water turning to blood and locusts and night 24/7. All these horrible things that still did not cause Pharaoh to relent in his oppression of the Israelite people. And it culminated in this story of Moses going one final time and saying, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh saying once more, "No." And the worst of the plagues came upon the land, and it was that of the firstborn son and all the families dying and being killed. But God had a plan of protection for his people. And what it included was asking them to sacrifice a lamb and taking that blood and painting it on the doorposts of their home. And that would signify to the Lord and to the Spirit of God to pass over those homes and keep them safe so that the firstborn of all the Israelites' homes did not die. And that's what happens. And I'm sure that you can see potentially, if you're tracking with me, the correlation that I'm going to point out. And it's that the hyssop branch is what was used to paint the blood over the doorposts. God's word is so intentional. There are so many parallels of that Passover story to this story of the crucifixion and the cross. But the one that I really want to highlight for you today is that of the deliverance of the people of God. That they started out as slaves and walked into the freedom made possible by God. I think that we potentially view the cross at times a little incorrectly. I believe at times we view the cross not in terms of deliverance, but we view it more in terms of get out of hell free card. That it is our freedom from sin and the wrath of God. And we almost stop there. I am at that stage in parenting where you just like don't know when the questions are going to hit. It's like one moment you're talking about Ninja Turtles, and then the next it's like, how do we know the Bible's real? And I'm like, it's very exciting times out there in the trainer home. I feel like I have to be prepared at all times. And I was putting Judah to bed just a week ago, and it was one of those moments where he just started asking spiritual questions, and it was something along the lines of, hey, Mom, how do I know I'm going to heaven? And I was like, oh, I feel equipped to answer this. So I started sharing the gospel story and said, well, do you believe in Jesus, buddy? He said, yeah, I do. But then he kept saying, but Mom, I'm just really scared I'm still going to hell. And I feel that, man. I was Judah as a kid. I was super anxious about most things. But also when it came to spiritual things, it was really birthed out of fear for me. It was birthed out of this, I just want to go to heaven. And I wanted to sit there, and I hope I did communicate with Judah and stand up here today and communicate to you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is about so much more than just getting out of hell. Hear me out. Yes, when we receive the free gift of the gospel, we are freed from the bondage of sin and we get entrance into eternal life with Jesus Christ. And I say, praise the Lord for that. And just as Joel shared last week, it was kind of like the simple gospel that it is by faith you've been saved through grace. It's a gift from God. That is true 100%. The gospel story is received by faith alone, not good works. But I would also argue that if our decision to follow Jesus is motivated more by a fear and a desire to just have eternal life one day and has nothing to do with our day-to-day today, I think we're missing something. I think we're missing it. Back to that story of the Passover. You know, so God freed the Israelites, and they were no longer slaves, right? Track with me as we're hearing this story about the correlation to us and to the gospel. They were no longer slaves, and they were brought into a new life. They were literally on the doorsteps of the promised land. It took 40 years to get there. But God had a plan and a purpose for their life today. He was having them wander around the wilderness and was providing for them. He was giving them something called manna. He was giving them water. Manna was literally food that was falling from the sky to keep them alive. And do you know how they responded? They started complaining. And they started saying things like, hey, you remember that food we had in Egypt? Man, that tasted pretty good. I kind of want to go back there. God had redeemed them. He had saved them. He had delivered them. And their response was to keep looking over their shoulder at what they left behind and to thirst for the things that had kept them in bondage. And unfortunately, I think that we do the same thing sometimes. When we view the cross only in terms of freedom from sin and an eventual eternal life with Jesus, we miss out on the life that God wants for us today. The fullness of the gospel story for our day today. That God wants to bring us into a new life. He wants to bring us into a whole new life that can be accessed today through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not just a future thing. It's deliverance for our day today. And I would encourage us all, man, are we still thirsting for the things of this world? And potentially when we have our eyes only set on eternity, and that's not to say that we shouldn't. We should always have our eyes set on eternity. But when we miss what God wants to do today, it's so much easier to look behind our shoulder and see what we're missing out on. And Jesus is on the cross literally saying, thirst for me. Thirst for me. See the parallels of the Passover story. And thirst for me. And the life that I want to give you today. The fullness of the gospel story. The kingdom here on earth today. There's kind of like three categories, if you will, of maybe truths that you could take away from today, or truths from these few short words of Jesus on the cross. And I do believe that there's probably someone in here that is really wrestling with the brokenness that they feel in their life and in the world today. I mean, yeah. I'm currently not doing social media because of the weight of the world and the brokenness I see today. So maybe it's a big picture brokenness that you're feeling, or it's in your individual story and experience. And I'm wondering if you have ever considered going to Jesus with that. Or maybe you have in the past, and it's just a reminder that he is there to feel the full weight of that. Jesus took on flesh and became like us so that we could come to him. And I would encourage you to do that today. For the broken pieces of your story, Jesus is saying, hey, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest for your souls. Jesus offers that. Or maybe, this is as an aside, but I think it's a really important truth to consider. Maybe God is asking you to step into broken places in our world today. Maybe it has felt easy for you to stiff arm the hard, broken things of our world. And it's easier to insulate and isolate and close your ears and shut your eyes and just pretend it's not happening. And I would just plead with you, for the sake of your neighbors, for the sake of your friends and your family and your church community, and for the sake of the stranger, would you enter into broken places so that they may one day know Jesus? Would we use Jesus' example from the cross of taking on flesh and pain and suffering, and we do the same? And then finally, it's that piece of seeing the full beauty of the cross and what God is calling us into. I want to highlight a verse that I think is important to kind of close out on. It's in Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. I think it's on. Yep, it's up behind me. I think this gives us a better vision for what Jesus wants for us from the cross. He's telling us that he wants to literally give us a new heart, to take our old heart of stone and transform it. This was a prophecy written in the Old Testament for us today. For us to consider when we think about a new life found in Jesus. If you've made a decision to follow Jesus, has it transformed your life right now? Or was that a decision you made that in some weird way you're kind of just saying, well, that's for one day. That changes my life for eternity, but it doesn't change my life right now. And I would humbly submit to you that maybe you're missing it. Just as those Israelites who were wandering around in the wilderness on the doorsteps of the promised land couldn't help but look back on what they were missing back in Egypt, back when they were slaves. What are you still holding on to in the old life that you have been transformed from? God wants to give you a new heart, a brand new heart. He came to earth as a human to be like us so that we could be like him. Do you desire that? Do you want to live a life that's like him, that looks like him? What would it take for you to do that? What in your life needs to change so that you're living a Holy Spirit-empowered life that affects your day today? I feel like there's a couple of ways to respond, and I know Joel made a great, clear explanation of the gospel last week of what it looks like to pray a simple prayer of faith and obedience to Jesus, to follow him. And I'm not going to walk us through that today, but I do recognize that maybe there are some of you in here that is your step of faith, is choosing to say, I want the freedom from sin, the freedom from the wrath of God, but I also want the new life that he can give me today. Praise the Lord for that, and we would love to be a church that can help you understand what that means. But maybe you're in here today and there is a response for you from one of the things that I shared, and if that's the case, we always have a prayer team that is going to be on either side here that would love to pray with you about that or anything else that's going on in your life, and I would encourage you to utilize them. Pray with them as we sing or after the service today. Maybe it's, I know we have our community groups this week, and if you're involved in one of those, your step of faith is to share pretty honestly about how the Lord is working in your heart this morning and what he was sharing and teaching with you. But I pray that you would obey, that you wouldn't just sit on the things that the Lord and the Holy Spirit is stirring up in your life, but that you would obey and walk in obedience to share that with someone else. I'm going to pray, and then we'll spend a little bit more time in worship. God, I thank you for the words from the cross that you spoke, even just this morning, standing out there with Cooper, and she saw those words hanging in the hallway and was reading them aloud to me and asking me, what do those mean? What are those? May we have such curiosity as my 9-year-old, that we're curious about these weighty words and what they mean for us today, the significance that they are for us today. May we walk out of here, Lord, with just a deeper and wider appreciation of you, that you are with us, that you took on flesh, Lord, out of your deep love for us. What a humbling truth. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys can stand as we sing again.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to attend a service, visit threecreekschurch.com.